Thanks for the privilege to be up here again. May we open up in another word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that we can come together and have fellowship with one another, that we can open up your word and understand very simple truths that it has for us. Lord, we ask that you would be with us this evening as the message that has been prepared will be a message that brings glory and honor to your name. Lord, that it would not be my message, but your message, Lord. We ask that you would be with us. And we thank you, Lord, for everything. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing I love about the church, one thing I love about the church that it's supposed to be is that honesty is a very important aspect to a body of believers. Wouldn't you agree? I feel like when I grew up, I didn't really understand that aspect of the church as far as honesty. And there was a lot of time that I spent growing up going to church that I really didn't have that honesty aspect down. And so I would come and people really didn't know who I was or what I was about. And I don't think that was a very good thing, because not until I understood how, as believers, we're supposed to be honest with one another, so that way we can edify one another and grow together, till I started reaping the benefits of being close with other believers. And another thing about honesty is, we've all probably struggled with some kind of addiction. Maybe addicted to video games, addicted to a certain show, whatever the case may be. Unless if you are honest with yourself, fact of the matter is, you're probably not going to overcome it. And so, today we're going to get pretty honest with one another. We're going to open up to Philippians chapter 4 and read a short passage, verses 4 to 9. Before we open up and read this passage, there's certain words that I want to take extra notice of. For example, have we ever had maybe someone we're close with, a friend or a family member, that have wronged us, and we said to ourselves, "Oh man, they're always out to get me. They're always trying to annoy me." The key word there is always. Now, if we were to be honest with ourselves, the people who are close with us and love us aren't always trying to hurt us. But we use those terms like always and all, and they've never liked me. Have you ever used those terms before? Now, those extreme terms like always, all, and never, a lot of times when we're reading the Bible, we look past them. Maybe because we use them in those certain contexts where they don't have that strong of a meaning to us, because obviously the ones we love aren't always out to get us. Or you get what I'm trying to say here. And so I want to point out those words as we're reading through this short passage. So we read in Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." So, I'm going to have to ask for forgiveness. I don't have an alliteration or anything special or of that matter. But we're going to look at four actions, or maybe we can say four characteristics that are going to be adjectives that will describe us. The first one, we see that we are to rejoice in the Lord. And here, the word is always. Always? Yeah. Rejoice in the Lord always. I turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 12. You can turn there if you'd like, but it says, "The rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer." It's hard to rejoice in the Lord always, isn't it? That's something that I fell short in many times. And especially lately, as many of you are very close to me, as I am here day in, day out, Sundays usually, sometimes. I guess it'd be wrong to say day in, day out, right? Well, I've been around a lot of us very often. And so you guys kind of know very, very well different prayer requests I've had in the past 6 months or so. If you remember, it wasn't too long ago when I didn't even know if I was going to graduate. And I said to myself, "Oh, Lord, please help me graduate. Life would just be so much better. I would be so happy with you." And that was one of the prayer requests I had here, many of you of which were praying for me in that way. And what do you know? I graduated. It was this whole big ordeal with an appeal I had to put through so that I can graduate on time. And then, as you know, my life progressed on, and then I was looking for a job. And again, same thing. "Oh, Lord, if you would just help me in this area, that would be so helpful. I'd be so happy with you." And the Lord has been good again, and He provided me with a career. And here I am again. Now I'm working 13 hours a day. "Oh, Lord, if you would just provide for me another career." You see how the pattern goes. And so here, something I've been missing is that we're supposed to be happy with the Lord always. And so, with that in mind, I was very convicted, and that's one of the reasons I brought up this passage, because it really affected me a whole lot. I was out with Bruce last week, and Good Friday. And, you know, I was having a little bit of a pity party. And I think without even noticing it, Bruce looked up at the clock and he said, "Oh, would you look at that? Halfway through the 3 hours of darkness." And I just, conviction came over my soul. Nothing I am going through is anything close or comparable to what the Lord has went through. So this morning, this evening, are we rejoicing in the Lord always, in whatever situation He's put us in? I think of the song, "Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One." Count your blessings, see what God has done. The Lord is so good about being with us, about answering our prayers. But most importantly, the Lord was good on that cross when He thought of you and when He thought of me. And so we rejoice in the hope, as it says in Romans 12:12. The hope, and that one day we're going to spend eternity with Him. So my question for us today is, are you happy with the Lord always? You don't have to answer out loud, but that's a tough question to ask, always. Next we have, besides being a happy person with the Lord, the next command here to our personality is to be, and the New King James says, "Let your gentleness be known to all men." Or you can use the word graciousness, to all men. And we were talking in Bible study last Friday, we were going over 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul says that he has become all things to all men, that he may save some. The Lord looked at us very graciously, and He looked at all men with the same grace, that all men might be saved. We have the similar command. Just like Paul wanted to be all things to all men, we should also have that same desire, that we would have the same graciousness to all men. Have you ever caught yourself? And I catch myself doing this. I'll be downtown, and there's a lot of homeless people. And so I'll pass them, you know, they'll ask me for money, and I'll slip out a track, be like, "Oh, I'm extra spiritual today, I have tracks with me." Slip out the track, and, "Here you go, man, I don't have any money." But I was really convicted about this, because I never stopped and took the time to actually share the gospel with them, thinking I'm doing something good just by giving them a track, when I could have 5 minutes just to share the gospel with them. And we should see other people with the same graciousness that the Lord saw us with. The Lord thought of us always, even on the cross. He had the same graciousness towards all men, that He would even say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Like manner are we portraying that same graciousness to others, just as Christ did to us. Because, after all, it says that the Lord is at hand. Right? Revelations 22:7 says, "Behold, I come quickly." We have a big responsibility towards our Lord, that we are to be fulfilling the Great Commission, to go out into all the ends of the earth and be witnesses of Him. And so, my question to you is, are you seeing others with the grace that Christ does and Christ did? That's another tough question to answer. Right? Third one, we see that we're supposed to be anxious for nothing, to worry about nothing. I don't know about you, but I'm a worrywart. I worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. I worry about, am I going to be able to leave a little bit early tomorrow? Am I going to hit my numbers that I need to keep my boss happy? But here we have another strong exhortation to be anxious for nothing. But in everything, the flip side, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. A lot of powerful stuff in this passage. That upon first glance, I read it through and I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. Rejoice in the Lord always. Yep. Gentleness be known to all men. Right? Be anxious for nothing. Right. We wouldn't disagree with any of these. This isn't one of those controversial passages that we might disagree with and argue over whether what does this word mean or what does that word mean. Here we just have the basic simple truths of the Bible, of how we are supposed to conduct ourselves. And we fall short of it. All of us. This is where we have to be honest with one another. We all fall short of this. There's a wonderful thing in verse 7. It says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus." The bad news is that we'll all answer no to every single one of these questions. Right? Psalms 55, I like that. It says, "Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." The bad news is that we're not rejoicing in the Lord always. The bad news is that we don't see others with the grace that Christ saw us, sees us. The bad news is that we are anxious and we do worry about how we're going to pay our bills. We do worry about just everything.